Welcome, everyone, to a special edition of the Perceptive Podcast on Game Wisdom. Today, we are celebrating the 2-year anniversary of the site. My name is Josh Beiser, the owner and lead writer, and my guests tonight are artist for Smugby Games and Game Wisdom site designer, Kenneth Ohm.
Hey there.
And returning guest and fan of the site, Larson Poirier.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Can you believe it's been 2 years since the site started? That's insane for me to think about.
Tommy, look, what's insane to me is that you have so many posts that when I try to export it for testing locally, it just collapses. It's too large to actually export all your posts.
Well, you said to put content out, and I put content out, all right.
Well, it's good content, mm-hmm. You know? We've had a lot of special guests over the years, so cool.
Yeah. So for this cast, we're not going to be talking about game news or industry-related stuff. So for those of you interested in that, you can pretty much take a break this week. Instead, we're going to be talking more about Game Wisdom itself and pretty much have maybe a behind-the-scenes talk about what's been going on with the site. I guess to begin with, I was just surprised about this as much as you guys were. I mean, I got the pop-up on LinkedIn of all places saying, you know, hey, you're celebrating your 2-year anniversary. Like, it's really been 2 years? I mean, seriously, this year has just flown by for me. And how's it been for both of you?
For me, it's all my VR work and contractual and teaching, and it's all kind of flown by. And I think I've been kind of like twiddling my thumbs waiting for all these VR releases because mm-hmm. I have so many Kickstarters going through. And my STEM controllers, which is like the predecessor to the Hydro controls, mm-hmm. is coming out November 6th for Silver tier, mm-hmm. and then the rest in December. So I should be getting it by the end of this year, which is awesome. But I wanted it in the beginning of October so I can show my kids. Mm-hmm. What's it all about? And also, like, I got that treadmill, Josh. I did it.
Nice.
I dropped the money bomb and I bought it.
Is the Oculus Rift, you had the DK2 model, right?
Yes, the second version.
Has there been any more news for like are they going to release a DK3 or are they planning on making the actual retail version soon?
The retail version will probably be out in the beginning of next year or probably sometime next year because they said they wanted to do it 2015 mm-hmm. per se, but it looks like they're going to go past that, so we'll see. Oh no, or maybe just that year because it's 2014 right now, right? I keep forgetting because I'm dumb. It's 2014. Okay, 2015 it's coming out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of other development, like they actually made a called Gear VR, which is technically an Oculus. I mean, a Note 4 screen that you can use for VR experience. They have like a little device. It's like a headset that you place on, and it's completely wireless, Bluetooth. It's pretty neat.
Cool.
So that actually exists. And there's a bunch of other VR stuff coming out, like Morpheus and all the other stuff. So it's definitely a big investment. And all the big engines like Unity and UE4, along with NVIDIA, are all offering, specifically in their notes, VR support.
Mm.
So this is next coming. And I had a big meetup with my clan members for Steam,
mm-hmm.
in which they actually got a lot of them got to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Larson? What do you think about it?
Oh my! I loved it. Like, I totally support the Oculus, and I was like, oh man, this will be awesome. But then I got to try it on, and it was different from what I thought it'd be, and it was so much better. And like, I already thought it'd be good,
mm-hmm.
but like now I definitely want one. Like, I don't have the money for it, but I definitely want one. It's like on my list of like the next three or four things I'm gonna buy for sure for the computer anyway.
Cool. And how has this year been for you, Larson?
It's been rather interesting. After doing many podcasts and discussions with you guys, I've learned to find out I'm very bitter about the video game industry overall. but it's been good. Like going from I learned a lot about game development. A lot of it through your website, a lot of it through some more from like exploring other places and reading and finding communities. And
mm-hmm.
I can definitely understand where like a lot of companies, like why they do things and stuff now. And it's been interesting. It's definitely something I want to do
yeah.
in the future, for sure.
And as for me, 2014 has been just a real roller coaster a year, both financially and just mentally. For those of you who don't know, we honestly put up the Patreon campaign to help secure monthly funding for the site. And that was pretty much a way to hopefully start earning some money, getting some income, and to help pay the bills. Because I've been out of work since 2011. So the start of this year was not that good for me. I was doing part-time transcribing on a website that Ken told me about. And while it was money coming in, I wasn't exactly saving. I was basically just making do. And it got to a point that I started just killing my hands that I had to cut back on. I know, Ken, I think you talked to me a few months ago. I think, didn't you have like tendonitis in your hands from over-typing?
Yes, well, it was in my forearms and my wrists, so I couldn't like do things. So I was out of commission for 2 months and I had a lot of angry clients.
Yeah. A lot of people, I don't think, realize just how much, you know, work you do on a computer. You may be just sitting, but there's a lot of strain on your wrists and your hands, especially if you're doing heavy work. Like, I'm sure you do a lot of typing and a lot of work when you're designing websites. And when I'm doing my transcribing, I'm typing usually 4,000 to 10,000 words in a day, compared to, you know, with the site, I may only type 1,000 words per article. So, I mean, it was just a huge increase in quantity for me, and got to the point, really, that I was icing my hands and putting them in hot baths almost every day, just from the sheer pain of it.
I changed my lifestyle a little bit, too. I got a special mouse, a vertical mouse,
mm-hmm.
where you hold it like a cup. You don't hold it with your wrist upwards. You mm-hmm. hold it when you're with your palm down.
Okay.
Thorsten saw it, right? The Abulet mouse?
Pretty neat.
It's pretty space-aged. I like it. And I also have wrist pads and pads for the keyboard so my wrists are on something soft and mm-hmm. try to be more upwards in angle against more ways to alleviate that whole weird wrist issue. And again, just being thoughtful with how much I use and how much I work and how much I play
mm-hmm.
on the computer and spending more time kind of walking around
mm-hmm.
And just, you know, just being a little bit, I mean, lazy in a good way, meaning mm-hmm. taking every 2 hours to just step away and do something else.
Yeah. I bought a special keyboard. I think you saw it, the one with like the like the brace or the mount you rest your wrists on. It's good, but it's so awkward when you're used to, you know, a flat keyboard that I notice I'm messing up more in my typing than I did before. But the fact that I guess it's been helping my wrist is a small price to pay. Maybe at some point I'll go back to the regular keyboard. But for now, with what I'm doing with the site work and all that, I think I need to keep this just to help my wrists heal and not be as painful.
For me, I still have my old mouse that I use, my gaming mouse, but mm-hmm. I only pull it out for specific games. Like when I play League of Legends, for example, mm-hmm. I pull out that mouse. But for everything else, I don't use it. Like I think it's fine to use in like small spurts,
mm-hmm.
but overall, like long usage, I don't. So yeah. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the perks of being young and not being old.
Yeah, we're old men over here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. go ahead and you'll see it. drink some more Mountain Dew and play more games. You'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. And get off our lawns.
What?
Get off our lawns.
Get off our lawns. Yeah, I don't even have a lawn. I'm gonna make one and I'll tell you get off of it.
Make me old man. Your wrist will break trying to push me off.
That's why I can use my legs. I have crazy strong legs and little baby arms.
That's right. He's like a T-Rex, just like a T-Rex.
Yeah. I'm a runner's body.
So with the transcribing, I mean, it was helping me sustain, but I wasn't really thriving. And then I was able to get contract work with Zola, which for those of you who see all the published works I have listed now from that, I think I'm up to like 35, 36. That has helped tremendously. While I'm not out of the woods yet, I'm no longer circling the drain. You know, that is a really great feeling to have after 2 years of, you know, barely being able to pay the bills.
Yeah, and again, that leaves us more room for expansion for the website itself to become more than itself that it's been for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, 2014, I think, has been one of the best years I've had in a really long time. Even though the Zola contract work didn't really start until June, in terms of the site and, you know, the notoriety from it, I think this has been a really great year for us.
Yeah, you've had some great casts, and the people that I've all talked to,
mm-hmm.
most people have been really kind, intelligent, great conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I like some of the jests that we have back and forth, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I like how we ask some really, sometimes we ask a little too personal questions, and they still answer it, so that's cool.
Yeah. And the podcast, I think, has been really great. I mean, I guess here's a question. I guess this is for Lorsen, since you started looking at the site later on in its development. When you hear me talk and, you know, talking to me now, would you consider me introverted or extroverted?
Extroverted, you mean?
Yeah.
What would I consider? I guess kind of like a bit of both. Yeah. Like when I first started talking to you, you definitely seemed way more introverted, but now like it's I feel like it's like shifted.
Yeah, and that has really been a major shift for pretty much my personality. I mean, when I was in college, I took a personality test and I scored 10 for 10 for introverted behavior. And so being able to talk on this cast and talk to people like you and our developers, I think has really helped. I mean, I think this is like the first time that I've been able to sit down and talk about something that I'm really interested in with enthusiasts and people of the industry, which I think has been really great. And Ken, as you said, we've had a lot of great podcast guests over the year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you changed a lot too. I mean, it's funny, but my favorite thing about your interviews and us podcasting is pretty much your accent.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best part of the whole thing. Jersey all the way. I'm like, yeah, there we go. Some of that Jersey action.
Someone once told me that I sounded like Alan Alda, and that has stuck with me. And I don't know if that's still true or not.
True enough. Yeah, to me, I'm kind of like you. I feel like I'm a social hermit. I'm very extroverted, but at the same time, I'm very introverted because I'm like, I guess more like if I'm out, I'll talk to everybody. When I'm in, I just want to be like huddle up my computer, do my work, or play some games.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've now met Larson, you've known me for many years online, and if you've met me in person, how do you think that reflects?
Oh my God, you're such an extrovert in real life.
Yes.
Thrives and all this like social energy, awkwardness, like he could pretty much like talk his way in and out of a maze, no problem.
Yeah, I like to, I actually love awkward situations. I like to turn that energy into something fun.
And me, I'm like,
yeah, that's pretty much me in social situations. I've always had trouble getting into a social group, doing all that. Part of it has been, I think, my leg and just the fact that I'm not really that mobile. So I haven't been able to get around that much. But even when I went out to, you know, like GDC, a few of the Philadelphia expos, I was always very quiet. The most like extroverted thing I did before I started the site was I did a little presentation at, I forget the name of the Philadelphia conference.
IGDA?
No, it was like a special thing. I think Game Expo, something like
that. Oh, yeah, that thing. The thing that like died because the guy like cheated everyone out of their money.
Lovely. So the one time I was extroverted, I had a whole topic on difficulty design for like 20, 30 minutes. I just talked nonstop in front of a group of people. And that was, you know, like the most I was ever in front of someone before the podcast. And it's weird looking back on where I am now compared to 3-4 years ago. I think it's really been a big change personality wise and just in terms of social awkwardness.
Yeah, definitely. I think you come a very long way. Because I remember meeting you, the first time we ever met was during the IGDA meeting when we met in person. And I wish we could have talked a little bit longer. But then we met up again for the Patreon video, which is cool. But probably need to reshoot that because the more and more I like it. The animation sections I really love.
Yeah.
But the you and your eyes, it was so hot in that room.
I know. My room is above the garage, so it's like literally the hottest room in my house. I have the computer and everything set up.
I could tell it wasn't just like nervousness, it was sweatness that was happening. And so like that's why you kept like your eyes kept flickering. I'm like, God dang it. So when we start doing our new changes to the website, and we'll discuss that later, one of it is going to be reshooting it in different locations for you. Mm-hmm. So we'll have the same kind of script. We'll change some of the language.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it look a little bit better and then just resubmit it and then do a relaunch for it. So I think that's one of the things that I want to do when we do is so the site revamp.
Yeah. And speaking about the Patreon thing, one thing that I really did love about that video was the testimonials we got from Chris Garner, Chris Park, and John Schaefer. Hearing, you know, three members of the industry just throw so much praise at the site and my writings and the podcast, that was a real, you know, emotional lift up for me over this year.
Garner and I are besties. At least I want to be besties with them. It's like he's very fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should have him back on. I think he's back from his holiday. I know he's working on Sunless Sea and the game formerly known as Below. I don't think he's figured out a new name for it yet.
Above.
Well,
perfect.
Yep, Chris, if you're listening, there you go. We solved the problem for you.
Yeah, above the core, below the earth.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? That's the name. There was someone else we wanted to cast with Gardner too. Who was it?
Joe McDonough.
Yeah, those guys would be like a great combo. to talk to.
Yeah, I haven't been able to get a hold of Joe. I hope everything's all right. I think he moved to wargaming.net, or I think he's working at his own studio. I forget. But yeah, I haven't heard back from him. And
We should try more combos of two different developers and see what their opinions are.
Yeah.
Or we can play like Evil Alchemy and try to put like the ones that have the most things that are uncommon with one another together and see what they say.
Yeah, one of the things I'm thinking about trying to set up for the end of the year would be like a developer roundtable. Get like 3 or 4 of our developers back on. They each pitch a topic and we discuss that. So I think it would be really interesting to get multiple developers on and basically hear how they interact with each other.
Oh, yeah, the Spirits game and Artisans, bring those guys together.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they both were pretty cool groups and they were really great to talk to and they definitely knew their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, bringing them together would be probably a cool idea. We'll think about combos in the future, but I think the hardest thing is, even though we may say that these combinations sound great, getting them together is near impossible. Schedule-wise, it's very difficult.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chris is in the UK, so I think he's like 4 hours behind us, or 4 hours ahead of us. I always forget the two. And we're, of course, on the East Coast. And then when you try to get another guest in, it's like you're trying to play like bingo, trying to figure out where to fit everyone in.
We'll just have a very small amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, but that kind of stinks because like a big part of the podcast is rambling.
Oh, yeah.
And a big part of what I like to do is tangents, even in teaching. Teaching, I can go on a 30-minute tangent and then come back like, oh, yeah, this subject.
Yep. You know, that's been a major part of the podcast, is we need to have at least one completely off-the-wall tangent per cast, or the cast isn't complete.
I should give a report on Final Fantasy. I should replay Final Fantasy 14 and give a report on the new one versus the original launch.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what I think. It's going to be better, probably.
Yep. Now, speaking about podcasts, I guess for both of you, what has been either your favorite podcast to listen to, or your favorite guest that you either had a chance to talk to or was one of our podcast topics?
I actually like the Spirit guys. They were personally really fun to talk to. And Gardner, obviously, I really love talking to. And the person who made the Gabriel Knight series.
Jane Jensen.
Jane Jensen, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, like asking her like in-depth questions about those horrific puzzles. I mean, how they were created and the process. And her history was really interesting, though. I hope her the best because she hasn't talked to us since.
Yeah.
That review you made. Josh, dang it. Stop burning our bridges.
Yeah, I think I pissed off Greg Kasevin, too, from Supergiant Games because I didn't like Transistor. So
what the? Stop burning bridges. Just be like...
Give everything 10 out of 10s.
Just be like, it was good. At the very end. Even if it's a low score, like, it was good.
Just put that at the end of every topic right there.
every time it's a bad review, say, like, well, it was good overall.
I should say about Goddess, too.
Yeah, perfect. This way we don't burn any bridges and everyone stays neutral or lukewarm with us.
And for you, Lorson, were there any podcasts or guests that you like listening to?
Oh, man. I like listening to pretty much all of them because everyone always has, like, different opinions about such and different insights and... I'm all about that. And I always like how you guys have, like, sometimes big developers, small developers, like, friends on here. I think it's great. And I just love listening to them all.
Awesome.
I also like the Dota 2 player we had on, hearing her opinion.
Emily, I think.
She had the same arguments that there's this group called Lady Planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
And we even, the Spirit guys, we talked about the other week, about this, you know, this group of people that say that, you know, it's very toxic, like, playing Magic with all these guys. You know, and you guys know the stereotypical Magic players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really, it's like nerd cubed, right? we got like the, not to insult Magic players, because everyone, like, there's a lot of people that play Magic, but like, you get these really arrogant, very cocky, misogynistic people that, like, I mean, just as a guy, just a dude that's interested in Magic, I feel uncomfortable around them because they have this, like, certain air of, like, like, I'm already better than you because I've been doing it for so long. And then when you add on being female on top of that, it's even worse. So she hated that kind of environment, that kind of negativity. And she was doing competitions and stuff. She was as good as any other player.
Yeah.
So she made this group called Lady Planeswalkers dedicated to creating, like, safe, comfortable environments for new players and female players that want to see what Magic's all about. Because in the end of the day, just like people that enjoy gaming, they want to share the experience of Magic, share the experience of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And these elitists, these, you know, these quote hardcores, they kind of lose fact of the beauty of why they love what they love. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think that it's great to have these kind of groups. And having her and Emily, our Dota 2 player, along with another, a couple other players, I mean, another developers, it'd be great to have them on and have kind of a discussion on females in the industry and then maybe female depiction in games.
Yeah. I think that's really interesting about, like, that mentality, because I'm surprised I've always been able to avoid that, you know, that elitist attitude. I think a lot of people who are part of clubs or even the game industry have, whether it's about their skill, or as you said, Ken, about men against women, you know, why is this girl trying to play games with us, that type of thought process.
Because you're introverted. Haha, see? bring it back full circle.
Yeah, so I will avoid all that elitist crap. But... Yeah, as I wrote on my post a few weeks ago, I've been lucky. I've never been a part of a group or an incident where men were attacking women. But as we spoke with Emily, I think that was a real eye-opener about, you know, a lot of the crap that women have to go through to enjoy this hobby compared to the men.
There's just a lot of ignorant people in general. Like, remember when we went to that IGDA meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one kid who said, like, why don't we let people pirate our games? Like, okay, so you spend like 5 years making a game, and you let someone pirate it? Why? Why is that okay with you? Well, it says goodwill. I'm like, that's not goodwill. I mean, you want to, if you're going to put your heart into a game and you know, put that process out there,
mm-hmm.
you need to have some sort of compensation, especially if you put your work into it full time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people like that exist. This, you know, this, that kind of like, yeah. Not looking at things holistically, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the real important life lessons for a lot of people trying to get into the game industry. That it's not, you know, this wonderful Willy Wonka chocolate factory magical place where, you know, you walk in and you come out a game designer with millions of dollars. You really do have to work your ass off, even more so today with all the different indie developers, you know, all striving and competing with each other to get a game out. And as you said, Ken, it's not realistic to say, you know, I don't care about my game being pirated. Well, when people are pirating your game and you're also competing with guys who are selling their game for, you know, $5, $10 less than you, how the hell are you going to stay in business in a month if you're not getting any money?
Yeah, I mean, at this scenario, if you want to do it that way, then you need to take up a second, third job,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make sure to pay your way. It's like, yeah, I'm a game developer and a barista. Showed you. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you're not going to build a base that way, you know?
And another topic, I guess, relating more to game wisdom and our guests, is some of the more disappointing aspects I've had over the year. And this is something that we haven't talked about on the cast, but I figure since this is our, you know, look back at the site, this is a great chance for me to do a little bit of venting. So the first disappointment, obviously, has been the Patreon campaign. You know, it's pretty much to help support the site and help support me, and I am kind of bummed that, you know, it hasn't picked up as much as it should. But again, I do think one of our problems was the fact that we sort of put the cart before the horse. We made the campaign before the site has really exploded in popularity. Like the people on YouTube who are getting their Patreon, they already had thousands of subscribers there.
Millions, actually.
Yeah. While the site, I mean, we've got decent viewership. I think we're averaging 100 to 150 a day, not counting when we have, you know, special guests.
Yeah, but, unique viewers, by the way.
Yeah.
Just for the audience to know.
While it's great in terms of building credibility, it's not great when you're asking money to help pay the bills.
But we don't also want to rely on clickbait and all that stuff like that. So the real answer to the situation, and what we're going to do in, what, Game Wisdom 2.0, is to focus on our social accounts that we have kind of been just been posting to and not really growing our numbers. So our Facebook page, our Twitter following, our Google community, our new Steam community group, which you guys should join.
Mm-hmm.
Josh will put a link to it in this post, hopefully.
Yeah.
And also, it's always in the footer, so if you always can check it out. And there you go.
Ken made that cute little Steam icon.
Yeah, made a little cute baby icon at the bottom. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that we could do. There's things we could do for SEO.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, I mean, and it's fun. One of our goals is defeat GameWisdom.com, the Flash site, and we have defeated them in the Google search rankings, which is good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we need to set bigger goals for our view count, bigger goals for our social accounts, and just ways to consistently, because the Patreon system won't work without the appropriate viewership. And we're not going to do a Kickstarter for the site because it's not that kind of thing. Unless the site were to transform into like an application.
Yeah.
Then maybe we would do it. But
yeah, I just don't see that happening unless we ask for like a huge amount of money up front. But I think that would scare people even more than just asking for a monthly fee.
plus it's not a consistent we create consistent content. We don't just do, it's not like we create one sort of thing. Like, I mean, we already have the site up, so to ask like, hey, can we have some money to make another site, that would be inappropriate. So I think Patreon is the right way. We just need to get the viewerships to match what we kind of expect or want.
Yeah, and I think with Kickstarter, it is more for someone wanting to develop a single product. And as you said, it is more of a continual service here. I don't think the model would really work for us.
Yeah, and again, I'm sure there's a lot of people that appreciate what we do. Mm-hmm. But like, in the end of the day, like a Patreon account, the reason it's successful is because you get like, you know, maybe like 5% of your viewership. But when you have a small enough viewership, you're not going to get a very large campaign going. So that's why people with YouTube videos, stuff like that, those people with a million subscribers get definitely just enough from Patreon that they can live off of it well.
Yeah, actually. And not counting, of course, the ad revenue from YouTube itself.
And we don't get ad revenue on our site at all, actually, because there is no ads on the site because we're doing the campaign.
Yeah, and we are going to be looking into maybe setting up an ad campaign on Google or other social network. That's more just to raise our visibility.
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's a lot of different tactics we'll take, but it's going to take a lot of time, effort, restructuring, and remodeling of how the site's actually displayed and internally built.
Mm-hmm.
Which means a lot of work on poor Ken.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to go and do that. And by the way, viewers, just so you know, Josh refuses to give me any Steam cards. What is this madness?
I know, and he even talked about Steam cards earlier. I was like,
yeah.
At first when we did this podcast, I was like, we might be able to actually make it through this one without talking about Steam cards. Yeah. And then Josh had to open his mouth.
Damn it.
I know.
And that's upset Ken.
I remember. I'm scorned.
See, now you've upset him. Now he's not gonna drop this. Good job.
I see so many sets I could complete. I'm like, oh, who of my friends list has this? Oh, Josh has one. Wait a minute. He's some sort of stickler for his cards. He would never give me any cards. Even on my birthday, he didn't give me any cards. Dang.
Didn't I gift you a game on your birthday? Or no. I think I gave you the soundtrack or something.
That was a year ago, not this year. My birthday was just last month.
Aw. Guess I'm going to have to give you a card or two now.
That'll be funny if he gives me like a TF2 card that I already have set and done.
At least
be something.
Yeah. Ken is still hooked on Steam trading cards, for those of you who haven't figured that out.
Guys,
right now.
You don't know. I'm hoarding like thousands of them for the next Steam event. You don't know?
What happened
in summer? You saw it in summer. The Steam cards meant something. Maybe it'll mean something again in wintertime. So please.
He really just wants an excuse to buy more, so please do not give him cards.
Add me. Add me on Steam and send me your cards.
We need like a little sign that says, do not give Steam cards to this person.
You will be thanked with the word thanks in a Steam box for your card trades.
Mm-hmm. And developers, if you have exclusive Steam cards, make sure to send them to Ken.
Yeah, if you have Steam cards, I'll advertise your game for free. I will use my networks. Just tell me that the game has Steam cards. I'll be like, okay, better tell everybody I know.
I still remember when we first saw it was all about the TF2 hats. So it's good that you moved on from that to another.
Oh, it still is, just that you don't have as many new hats.
Yeah.
The problem.
Getting back to the site itself, one other bit of disappointment has been, I think one of the problems with talking to so many members of the game industry is that it's sometimes very hard to get a hold of people. A lot of developers either don't have a dedicated PR person, or their PR person has generally sucked, to say the least. I've had some good experiences with PR people, developers like Clay Entertainment, the PR for Watch It Eye has been really great, but for the most part, it's been a pain in the ass to deal with a lot of PR people, just because they either don't get back to you, or they go, months on end. And one thing that I really haven't talked about, which this is one of my little bits of dirty laundry, has been how disappointing I've been with Odd World Inhabitants. For, I think I may have said this on the cast a few months ago, but I was in the process of scoring a exclusive interview with them, talking about the history of Oddworld, game development. I know, Ken, you're probably as big a fan of Oddworld Inhabitants as I am.
The first PC game, first PC game for Windows 95.
Yeah, and I was all set up for it. I sent out this excellent interview, and the PR person just dropped the ball completely. I went months on end without hearing anything. I got like an email saying, oh, I haven't been able to get a talk to them. Maybe we scheduled for 6-7 months. And I'm just like, hanging on. And then the PR person actually left and someone else came on. And I sent them an email with everything that's been going on and I never got a response back from them. Mm. And the part that just pisses me off is that 4 or 5 months ago, all of a sudden, all the sites started reporting and doing interviews with Oddworld and all their stuff. And I'm just like sitting there going, I beat these guys, you know, 7 months ago to the punch, but I got nothing out of it. And it still stings a little bit, the fact that I was, for the first time, ahead of the game, and it didn't get through.
Well, yeah, it's a bit tragic. But remember, in the very beginning, when we first started getting really serious about the site, when we did a redesign, you were scared about, you know, how are we going to contact these developers? And I just said simply, you just kind of need to get over that fear and just send them a message. They're people just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, example, like, I sent a message to the forums in Wajidai, and, you know, Dave directly sent me a message back, which is cool. Or I remember I talked to the guy at dinner date, and I just sent him a message saying, hey, are you going to Oculus Rift support? And he sent me a personal mail saying what his plans are. It says that the code's too old, and in the future, he may be doing integration. So, again, these people are just like anyone with an email address, and they love interacting with their fans. And the same thing goes with people interested in their games, because they want what you want. They want visibility on their games, and you want to report on good quality games themselves. And just good developers and good development houses. So I think a big part of it is just reaching out. And I think maybe that's also helped you get a little more extroverted when it comes to talking to people.
Yeah. I'm so surprised I haven't heard back from Dave Gilbert. I sent him like 3-4 emails. We were all
Dave, I love you. Why don't you talk to me? Yeah. That was the only podcast I missed, and I was actually at my computer. I just misheard Josh's time. But he's my favorite modern day adventure game developer.
Yeah.
I love his work and love his style, and his writing's great, and you know. So he's definitely a cool guy. He doesn't want to talk to us anymore.
There we go. Yeah. And we had a good cast too, so I don't know why he's disappeared.
Well, he's busy, you know, and his new game's coming out, and you know, the Blackwell series is over, a very long legacy. Pun. But you know, it's a new thing. And don't forget, he's also produces other games, or produces while he funds different games and stuff like that. So I'm sure he's very busy with that kind of stuff.
Yep. And the lesson for the developers listening to take away is get someone who knows how to handle PR to handle it. If you can't do it on your own, make sure you hire someone to actually do it and do a good enough job. To give you another example, I'm not going to say who this developer was, but they told me to get in touch with their PR team, and when I did that to request an interview and a press copy of the game, the PR person never got back to me. I mean, I sent them a few emails and nothing. And if I didn't know this guy from one of the forums I visited, I would have never scored that interview and gotten the copy that I needed. And again, it's one of those things that you don't really think about when you're busy developing a game and working with your team, but you also have to know how to manage your public appearance.
Right. A simple denial would be fine, too. It's like, sorry, Game Wisdom, we don't have the time to actually produce it, but we really would like possibly in the future. Even like something that's like a little glimmer of hope of maybe in the future is good enough.
Yeah.
But saying nothing is the worst thing you can do, because you show that not only do you not care, but you don't have the courtesy to give a denial or declining an interview.
Yeah. And it's one of those really annoying things, because I've spoken to developers who literally email me back within 20 minutes of when I email them, complete out of the blue email, so I'm getting responses to. And then there's people who I email, and I don't get anything for at least a week to 2 weeks from that one email. And I know people are busy, but at the same time, if you're not answering my email, are you doing that same job with all your other press contacts?
I mean, I understand if you don't, like, 2-3 days, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you get busy with your own work, and maybe sometimes at the end of the week. Like, example, sometimes I have so many emails in my box, I don't answer them all. I answer them all at once on Friday mornings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, that's fine. But when you wait over, like, 2 weeks, then that email's pretty much dead. That chain's dead.
Yeah.
So you have to be on the ball, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at least if you're going to be longer than a couple of weeks saying, like, sorry, we're really busy right now, can we get back to you in, like, next week? Then at least you kind of keep that thread alive and you keep your PR good.
Yeah. It should not be my job or any website's job to keep trying to get a hold of you. If someone wants to give you free publicity, you know, let them. You don't look a gift horse in the mouth that way, or it will come back to bite you when you're trying to actually sell your game.
And don't think of journalist sites as entitled. Like, you're making it sound kind of like, well, we're doing you a service. It's not that. It's just common courtesy to say yes or no. And that's pretty much it. I mean, if you think that what we're requesting is too egregious, like saying, you know, can we possibly have a press copy or get your press list and say, like, we don't want you on the press list, that's fine. We move on, we shake hands, and that's business.
Yeah. The problem is that most people don't want to be held accountable for anything. It's the same thing with any industry, especially with job interviews. They don't respond to you because they don't want any accountability on their end for why they didn't hire you. So for their reasoning, it's better just to, you know, pretend you never existed to them.
Right. You know, sometimes it's easier to ignore that phone call than to actually answer it and interact. Because sometimes it's not worth your effort. But, you know, you never know where that gold mine will strike, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or where that thing that will make your game, like, have great visibility will appear. So I would say whenever you have the time, you know, take that chance and see what happens.
But with that said, let's move on and talk a little bit more about, I guess, the future of Game Wisdom. Now, one thing that I forgot, I'm not sure, you know, we've been talking for so long, this rant has been driving me crazy. Did I mention my favorite podcast guest already?
Who was it? You gonna pick a favorite? You shouldn't pick one.
Well, my favorite podcast, like, subjects.
Oh, okay.
I think some of my favorite ones were the several times I've spoken to Chris Park about game development. Has been really interesting to get that inside look at the thought process and design of the games. And I would say another one I really liked was when we had Ernest Adams on, because he's been such a prominent figure in the game industry that to get him on the cast, I think, was a really big honor.
Okay, cool.
So I guess the final topic then is to talk a little bit about the future, what we're planning on doing with Game Wisdom. We've spoken about this bits and pieces over the podcast. Ken is going to hopefully be doing a relaunch or a reboot, Game Wisdom 2.0. I'm going to hopefully try to score some more guests, some newer guests, onto the cast. I have a few ideas in my head. I would really like to do that developer roundtable idea. I'm going to start contacting a few of our past guests about that probably this week. And one other thing I'm going to announce it here is I would like to do like a viewer response edition of the podcast. So if any of you listening have any questions or topics you want us to talk about on the cast, you can either email them to the Game Wisdom address or post them in one of our Google or Facebook channels. And if we get enough of them, we could, you know, make an entire podcast just out of those questions.
Right. So there's definitely a lot of things that we can add. I think that's part of it. And if you want, you want me to tell you what I'm going to do for the site?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, basically what we're going to do is, as I talked about earlier, we're going to increase our social traffic, the amount of people we have in our groups. We're also going to change the infrastructure of the site to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep the same motif, same color scheme, but we're going to change the site to be more mobile friendly, along with looking at other technological quote advances per se that we have from the original startup of the site. We will probably have new sections, like, again, developer roundtable. Could be a cool little graphic of a little knight's roundtable if you want, because the site is based around the concept of a royal theme.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do a lot of that kind of fun stuff. And again, we're reshooting the Patreon videos, and, you know, we're going to do a relaunch of the campaign, which is fun because that campaign can always change and evolve because it is a monthly kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we can do. And along with just trying to get more collaboration with sister sites, you know, talk to more people, and try to diversify what we produce. So
yeah,
definitely there. Maybe even I'll finally write a piece. I wrote one about Oculus, and then it all got ruined when Facebook bought them out. So I had to rewrite it once more for the new update.
And I guess the funny thing about you, Ken, is that you've told me in the past you have so much trouble sitting down and writing stuff. But you're really good at creating websites and doing visual design, and I'm pretty much the opposite. I can sit down and, you know, write 1,000, 2,000 words like they're nothing, but I have no artistic talent whatsoever.
In this post, I should show the old picture of your Game Wisdom trophy.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew at some point you were going to bring that up on this.
Beautiful.
Page.
So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys know, originally Josh's site was called Mind's Eye, and he drew like this weird, like, badly done 3D rectangle with a little like line popping out of it with like an eye as a trophy. It looked like some sort of
Lovecraftian creature.
Don't make it sound that elaborate. It's it's like a 5-year-old's nightmare, pretty much. But he drew it, by the way.
Yeah.
with MS Paint.
Mm-hmm. Ken has all that stuff, you know, archived somewhere on his computer.
I use it to show to clients, but like, this is what it was. This is what it is.
You scare them. You scare them. You shock them, and then they're like, "Oh my god, I gotta get this guy. It's so scary and horrible."
Look at this horrible website. Oh, look at this horrible this stuff he's created. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry, I'm here to save the day. That's why my site says is my tagline on my site is solving design crimes in 2009.
And that was a really big crime.
yes, but don't worry, I'm always here to save the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you want the image, I can send you the image again if you want.
No,
the
I don't want that.
Okay. You love it when I show people that.
Mm-hmm.
It's memory.
And as a funny aside, one of the things I'm starting to write just in my spare time is I started to write like my own little horror like story, like a short story just out of the blue. I've been catching up on reading H.P. Lovecraft, and it gave me an idea for like a little horror thing. So I'm going to be writing something in my spare time and see where it goes.
Yeah. And this year, too, I am I have a pupil, which is Lorson. I teach at local university. I teach art courses, web courses, and game design courses. And I'm teaching Lorson a lot of stuff, and she's actually going to help me with one of our projects, which is a card game.
Cool.
So maybe in the next 3 months or so, we'll be having cool updates and maybe a little Kickstarter, just enough to fund the printing of the cards, mm-hmm. but not really for like a crazy amount of profit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll definitely be doing some game development and also bringing in Josh with some of my VR development that I'm doing on the side. So there's still a lot on my plate. So not only am I'm already overbooked and I'm putting game development on top of that. So yay. Because, I mean, Smuggy makes games and then I will be doing my own personal VR projects and physical card game projects. So there's a lot of things that I'll be doing, and maybe I'll even update it with on the Gamers of Sight about what's going on and, you know, how you guys in the Gamers and community can participate. So there you go.
Awesome. All right. I think with that, we're just about out of things to talk about. Do you guys have any final thoughts or topics you want to pitch?
Josh doesn't give cards.
Yep.
Dang. When did you become Scrooge McCards?
When I keep hearing that you make $50, $50 to $100 per card, I'm making 5 cents.
Not cards. I make $50 on hats. Mm-hmm. Dang. They're different things. Cards are only worth like 5 cents, 10 cents.
Mm-hmm. And I love when we have the guests on, they're like, he made that much money with TF2 items? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, that son of a bitch.
Yeah. Wilson has sold her Aussie for $100, right?
I sold it for 90, so I got 70.
A steam rich.
Yeah.
Steam rich, and it was on my birthday. Let's not forget that.
She also got her Aussie drop on Sunday, on her birthday.
Yeah, my 21st birthday. So not only was I drunk and playing TF2, I also got an Australian, which I sold for $70.
Nice.
Aw, yeah.
Living the dream.
Yep.
TF2 dream.
I only sold things for like $20, $50 a pop. I never sold something for 100 plus a pop, except for like real devices in like real life.
Have you ever thought about like designing an item or trying to make someone to get pitched onto TF2?
We were thinking about that. We have some ideas.
Yes, I have tons of ideas.
But I
sketch them out once in a while.
I have to teach her how to do 3D modeling and texture work
mm-hmm.
and character work first before I do any of that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep, and that's become very lucrative, but that's another topic that, you know, we could talk for another 40, 50 minutes about.
Yeah, so...
Oh, easily.
If I ever do form a separate company for Smugby and make... It's going to be called... Well, I won't say the name now, but it's... if I ever do form that new company, we will be looking for artists, developers, and designers, so keep your ears open, and maybe we'll... if anyone's ever interested, you can send Game Wisdom a mail.
Mm-hmm.
When we actually make that announcement. So there you go.
Awesome. So I think with that, we're going to wrap things up. Because this is our 2-year anniversary cast, I would like to thank all of you for listening to the cast, reading the articles, sending emails. It's great to hear that a site is reaching people beyond just like, you know, our small little group here. And Ken, again, thanks so much for working on the site and being the guy responsible for putting this whole thing together.
Yeah, thanks. It was a great experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one thing that would make the experience better.
Mm-hmm.
Cards.
It's
my birthday. Dang, Josh.
I'll think about it.
You wish it was your birthday.
It's not my birthday anymore, but it was my birthday once.
Just once, though.
Yeah, just once.
Just once.
I'm just a baby. I'm only 1 year old.
Mm-hmm. And Orson, again, thanks for being a guest on the site, being a fan, and of course, being my partner on Payday 2 a few times.
Hey, man, no problem. But we do need to get back into robbing some banks. I'm getting rusty.
Well, next week is their whole big Crime Fest promo, so that'll be great.
Oh, thank God. Yep. I need more masks parts. That's all I ever get is ammo. I mean, is weapon mods. I don't mod the weapons. I just want to mod my mask.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting on that good drop.
Yeah. Well, hopefully next week will be a good time to be playing Payday 2. All right. So I think with that, we're going to wrap things up. As always, if you'd like to contribute to Game Wisdom, we have several ways of doing so. For guest piece or being a guest on the podcast, you can find email and information under Submissions Wanted on the front page. And for our ongoing Patreon campaign, you can find all the information under the Patreon banner also on the front page. With that said, thank you for tuning into the podcast this week. Thanks again for listening to us for the last 2 years, and hopefully we can do this for a lot longer. So have a great rest of the week, and we will talk to you again next time. Take care, everybody.
See ya.
Good night.